Today on the On Track podcast, we'll talk about why we as believers should prepare for persecution, looking at biblical reasons as well as what's happening in the culture. But there's encouragement in there as well. So let's go. Welcome to On Track, where we help Christians to hold to your faith, stay the course, and finish the race. It's not a pleasant subject, but what comes to mind when you think of the word persecution? Do you think of Jesus' disciples or Paul and his companions being beaten or killed for their faith? Do you think of Christians in places like Nigeria being physically attacked or killed for remaining faithful to the Lord? Do you hope you never have to face anything like that? Me too. But when you read Scripture, you understand that Christians should expect opposition. We should expect to be tested if we hold fast to our faith and do not go along with the world. We will be tested, and we should be ready. Most of us are familiar with 2 Timothy 3:12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. As much as we wish it weren't so, there will be those who seek to mistreat us because we have a spiritual enemy who has blinded their eyes. Never forget that our true enemy is not another human being. It is the devil. Consider Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. From its beginning, the church has faced persecution. In the book of Acts, we read about Stephen, who was the first martyr, and the great persecution that broke out immediately after he was killed. As a result of that, though, believers were scattered and the gospel spread. What was intended for evil was turned to good. And that's an important theme to remember, that what man intends for evil, God can use for good, including persecution. By staying faithful, we can be confident in the ultimate good God will bring, even if we suffer temporarily. Is Christian persecution close to becoming normal in the United States? Some would roll their eyes at that question. Others would say emphatically it's already happening. But whether we see the kind of persecution our brothers and sisters in other countries routinely face, we can and we should be ready. And we should take advantage of our freedom in the meantime. I do think persecution is closer than most of us would like to believe it is. We'll get into why in just a minute. Here in America, we're not used to this idea. All our lives, all we've known is the ability to worship God freely, to serve Him and live out our convictions without fear of being physically assaulted, incarcerated, or having our possessions forcibly removed. It's something I regularly thank the Lord for. But these freedoms are not guaranteed. They could be gone tomorrow. And because we've taken them for granted, I'm concerned we won't be ready to live in the moment if and when that happens. So this is my plea. Let's take advantage of the opportunity to exercise these freedoms while we can. Deepen your relationship with the Lord by going to church and reading your Bible. Talk openly about your faith. These convictions, and the thought they may not long be available, helped motivate me to begin this podcast. So why do I think persecution is coming? I pay pretty close attention to current events and gather news from a variety of sources. And if you read news beyond the headlines, especially from sources outside the mainstream media giants, you'll see troubling stories of believers who've had their businesses targeted for refusing to use their artistic talents to celebrate events they believe to be unbiblical. Among them is Jack Phillips, who owns a bakery in Colorado. Phillips has been in court for years now over his steadfastness of conviction not to use his God-given gifts to do things that he believes displease him. He details his journey in a book called The Cost of My Faith. It's a good read, both inspiring and sobering. I was struck by the persistence of those who seek to do him harm, and his persistence in trusting God and walking in obedience. The joy he seemed to have in the midst of heavy trials was really encouraging. In the wake of the leak of the Roe v. Wade decision, around 100 pro-life pregnancy centers and ministries were vandalized, and very few of those responsible were brought to justice. Against that backdrop was the story of pro-life activist Mark Houck, and if you're not familiar with his story, I really encourage you to look into it. Houck is a married father of 7 children who leads a men's ministry in Pennsylvania. He also volunteers with a pro-life organization offering sidewalk counseling at abortion clinics. On one particular day, Houck details how a man began berating him and his 12-year-old son for the work they were doing in an attempt to save the lives of unborn children. Houck intervened to protect his son, pushing the man away from him. The man sought to press charges, but the local jurisdiction declined to pursue them. Sometime later, he was notified that the federal government was looking into pressing charges for violating a federal statute meant to protect people who are attempting to access reproductive facilities. Houck was understandably surprised, but said he would voluntarily meet with lawyers from the government if they wished. There was no need to detain him forcibly. Instead, the FBI sent nearly 24 agents to arrest him at his home in a pre-dawn raid. They put him on trial and sought to send him to prison for more than a decade for pushing someone. Really. Houck was thankfully acquitted of the charges, but he has no doubt the ordeal was meant to intimidate him and others doing the work he was doing into silence. Recently, we saw the ugly reaction to comments made by NFL kicker Harrison Butker at a college graduation. Butker spoke to students at a Catholic university and espoused Catholic doctrine, saying things that a decade ago would not be considered newsworthy. What followed was swift condemnation online, a petition for his team to fire him, and even a statement from the NFL saying they did not share Butker's values. The Twitter account for the city of Kansas City, where Butker plays for the NFL franchise there, attempted to publish details of where he lives in an apparent call for harassment against him. This is many things, but tolerant is not one of them. The French philosopher Voltaire is said to have written, "Truly, whoever can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." Another reason I think persecution is coming here is that our culture is believing absurdities. Women can become men. Men can have babies. There is an infinite number of genders. To have a different opinion from someone is to oppress them. And disagreement is not being tolerated. People are being fired from their jobs for refusing to use correct pronouns. Others have their social media accounts locked for saying things considered completely normal and truthful a decade ago. Legislation in certain states is being proposed that would remove a child from his or her parents if they refuse to go along with the child trying to change their gender. Needless to say, this is not normal, and it defies all manner of rationality. This, I believe, is a clear indication of what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, the verse we mentioned a moment ago. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." People have been deceived, and what they don't realize is the things they think will set them free will only enslave them. The lies whispered to them about freedom only bring bondage. But along with that, you don't typically see a passive attitude from those who hold these kinds of views. It's not a "you be you and I'll be me" approach. Instead, it demands not only acceptance, but promotion from everyone else. Why is this? Because our culture has taken what an individual chooses to do and made it an identity. It's not what I do, it's who I am. And that's a different ballgame. Author and professor Carl Truman wrote in his book Strange New World, "If we are above all what we think, what we feel, what we desire, then anything that interferes or obstructs those thoughts, feelings, or desires inhibits us as people and prevents us from being the self that we are convinced that we are." So if you say that someone ought not do something they consider to be their identity, they will feel you are attacking their very person. And preaching the gospel, which involves a call to turn from our sin, leaving our old life behind, and trusting Christ, would most certainly be put into this category. This hasn't always been the case. And I encourage you to read Truman's book for more on the subject. We did not get to the point of believing absurdities and demanding others believe them as well overnight. It's been a steady acceptance of bad ideas over time, most of culture not even realizing where these ideas came from. Christians, for holding to the timeless truths of Scripture regarding human identity, gender, and sexuality, are labeled bigots, homophobes, and transphobes if they dare to speak up. Further, they face losing their jobs in some cases and being banned from social media for their speech. Truman again writes, "In the world of psychologized selfhood, society's modern politically favored identities see any challenge to them, in fact, any failure to affirm them fully and wholeheartedly, as assaults on their legitimacy." This is why the persecution of Jack Phillips for not making a wedding cake is so unrelenting. Any act that refuses to affirm and celebrate can be received as an assault on someone's legitimacy, on their very person. And if Christians hold to the truth of Scripture, there are things we cannot affirm, because God expressly forbids them. This puts us on a collision course with culture. Our culture has lost the ability to hear any kind of correction. We've placed ourselves in the position of authority, and we will not tolerate anyone telling us to stop or go a different way. Notice this demand for affirmation does not go in both directions. Society in general will tolerate the berating of Christians for holding their views. What's kind of humorous is that the prevailing attitude seems to be, it's wrong for a group of people to tell another group of people they are wrong. Let the irony of that sink in for a moment. Here's another reason I believe persecution is quickly approaching. The popular worldview of 21st century America is some form of critical theory, which divides society into power groups of oppressor and oppressed. Time doesn't permit a deep dive into these ideas. We'll have to tackle that in another episode. Suffice it to say that these worldviews have some messed up thinking. They're not based on rationality or logic. Indeed, they see these approaches as being part of the problem. In these views, if one is fighting against oppression as defined by critical theory, reactionary violence can be justified. But oppression has a very different meaning to adherents of these worldviews than it does to much of the rest of society. It does not mean that person A is physically or financially harming person B. Indeed, person A does not need to do anything but disagree with person B, or say something person B dislikes, for it to be deemed oppression. Further, in this logic, person A, deemed to be a member of an oppressor class, is automatically oppressing person B, whether they want to or not. The logic goes, because your speech is oppressing me, or because you're part of an oppressor class and I'm an oppressed person, I have the right to defend myself and do whatever I deem necessary. One of the clearest examples of this can be seen in the reaction to the conflict between Hamas and Israel. Hamas committed unspeakable evil against Israel on October 7th of last year. Some 1,200 people were killed, hundreds more kidnapped. It was truly horrible. In the months since, you may have noticed that many on the left condemn Israel for attempting to wipe out the terrorist organization responsible. How can this be? Well, a worldview steeped in critical theory sees Israel as having more resources and wealth than the surrounding countries as the oppressor. And it really goes deeper than that. A lot of people simply don't think Israel should have the land they have, and thus they see them as oppressor of those who should have the land, in their view. Because the surrounding people are oppressed, reactionary violence is justified. I need not tell you this is warped, twisted thinking. When questioned by Congress, the presidents of three Ivy League universities recently said that students who call for the genocide of Jewish people would not necessarily violate their policies against bullying and harassment, depending on the context. Now, how does this relate to Christians? Well, Christians are seen as atop the oppressor chain in the West, according to critical theory. By nature of our existence and the beliefs we hold, according to some, we are oppressing others. And if reactionary violence is justified for the oppressed, we are not foolish for expecting to one day face that. To all this, I would say, pray for those who hate you and would seek to persecute you, as Jesus commanded. Pray that they would come to meet him and be saved. Don't let the fear of what might be keep you from speaking what you know to be true. To be clear, I believe we as Christians need to prepare to be mistreated. And it should be no surprise. Jesus warned us in no uncertain terms this would happen. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. That's from John 15. I can't say this enough. It's imperative that we deepen our love for Christ and our commitment to him, because we will be tested. But remember what he also said. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 15 and 16. It's important to take every advantage of the opportunity to speak freely while we still have it. Think of what we have access to at this moment in time. We have the Bible in any translation, in print and on our phone. We can take it and read it anywhere, and even have it read to us. A practically limitless library of theologically sound books, from classics to modern-day apologetics, also available to read or listen to on our smartphones. We have devotionals of all shapes and sizes, prayer guides and apps, Christian music of all genres, and tools to create websites, blogs, or podcasts of our own. Use these things. Jesus is still the antidote to sin's grip on our society. People can and will be saved, and His church will remain until the end. Remember Scripture's warning, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The question is, will we be found faithful? One step to that end is to be ready. Thanks for listening to On Track. For more, visit our website at keeponTrack.org.